Welcome to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. Episode 16, Blackstripe. His paw was not getting any better. The skin puffed red and raw where the stones of Cold Mountain had sliced into the pad. Sand had soaked up most of the blood, caking the wound in a stone-like scab that stabbed into the infected underskin every time he took a step. He'd taken a lot of steps since the slopes of Cold Mountain. He'd managed to suppress his limp this far. He even managed to imagine the cool sands of the desert night might do him some good, cooling the heat that was now boiling up from the centre of his foot, but he couldn't ignore it for much longer. Soon enough it would start to smell. Soon enough he would start to smell. His pain would leak from his pores, covering his skin in the shame of weakness. He should have taken more care as it skittered and slid down the unstable shale slopes. He should have watched where he was going, rather than fixing his attention on the threat of the other wolves. The ones he should have trusted, rather than staining them with the stench of suspicion. Maybe if he had been more open to Bloodfur, then he could have spared himself the antagonism that had spoiled their experience of the desert. A pack should have worked together. A pack should trust each other with their lives. Thought should flow between them like water in the river. But on the sands, they'd been siloed from each other. The group fractured into smaller, weaker mini-packs whose boundaries were undefined, whose allegiances were uncertain. They followed him, yes, but they were like ice falling from the trees, ready to smash into a thousand pieces the moment trouble arose. And trouble was rising. He could feel it as they walked. There was a tension building between them like snow on branches ready to fall. As long as they were walking, they'd find it difficult to sign, their legs being needed for the journey, with only the indistinct pictures of dissatisfaction being shared between them, all feeling with no detail. But they had arrived at the waterhole early. The sky was dark, the stars not yet hiding from the blast of sunrise that would come later, after the wolves had had time to sign amongst themselves, to plot how to rid themselves of the leader. The waterhole itself lay dry beneath an unnatural pillar that loomed over the place like a falling tree, its rock face eerily flat and smelling like wood after a lightning strike, black with the memory of fire. At the base of the rock was a once wet mud pit, almost buried by sand that had blown in from the interminable desert. In another half moon or so, it would be as though the pit never existed. Shadowtop and Two Toes took it in turns to dig into the crumbling earth, but even the smell of water was gone from the dusty soil. All the place could offer them now was shade. Blackstripe lay on the far side of the rock to the empty waterhole, nursing his paw. He knew that taking first watch would give them a chance to sign. His being there, out of sight, would give them the opportunity they hadn't had while travelling. He should have insisted they keep going, continuing on through the starlit darkness to prevent the plot from growing, but the bird had disappeared the moment they arrived and wouldn't answer Shadowtop's call. They would not know which way to go. "He'll be tired," the two-toned wolf had explained as Blackstripe willed the creature to return. "How far to the next waterhole?"
"We should rest here," signed Shadowtop.
"Did the bird say it was close?"
"Yesterday was hard. The pack needs time."
"Time is exactly what I do not want to give them," he'd signed. "Get me the damn bird."
But Left Leg Broken had not returned. The thing was as unreliable as spring weather. Blackstripe licked at his sand-crusted scabs. There was a bitterness to them. If his saliva were not so precious in the desert heat, then he would have spat it away to rid himself of the taste of his own paw and whatever lay festering within it. He needed a Herbrite. He needed something to stop his head from pounding in time with his heartbeat. There was a gentle clattering of small stones. Shadowtop rounded the angular corner of the rock and padded over to him. Blackstripe cursed her silently. Here she was, coming back to him at the worst possible moment. She knew what the others were signing about. She knew that this was the wrong side of the rock to be on when it finally began. She shouldn't be there. "You should go back," he signed as she lay down beside him. "No point in both of us dying." The black-backed wolf made no reply. Soon the sunrise would bleed across the Dust Bowl, lighting up the desert from here to Cold Mountain. Not that Blackstripe would be able to see it. The mighty peak had dipped down below the horizon days ago. They were beyond the edge of the world now. Life never made it this far into the void, and yet, still, they were moving, heading deeper into a dead world with nothing but Godsong and kitten tails to guide them. And the bird, wherever it was now. Blackstripe wondered what the others would do after he was dead. Would they keep on going, or turn back and hope that the island of green they called home had not drifted too far from where they'd left it? Either way, they were going to have a new alpha. In an ideal world, he'd have wanted it to be Shadowtop. She was the only one he trusted to keep them alive without him. But she had stained herself already by association. She was his second, and they all knew that. Now, maybe mere heartbeats before they came to enforce the change of leadership, she was here by his side again. Even now. He wondered if they would kill her first. He wondered if they would make him watch. Maybe if he fought hard enough, he might persuade them that he was too much of a threat to live that long. They might dispatch him as quickly as possible. That's what he would do in their position. Don't gloat. Go for the kill. Make it quick. Make it certain. But Bloodfur was another animal. The Red Wolf would want the glory of winning as much as the victory itself. He would want Blackstripe to watch as he slaughtered the only wolf he ever really trusted. The beast would want to show the old alpha that this whole thing was his whole fault, that he should have given over leadership of the pack while they were still on the slopes of the mountain. Such is the way of the weak-minded. They always want to be proven right. Blackstripe thought about turning on Shadowtop now in an attempt to make her run while she still had a chance, but he knew she would never leave him. She was too loyal for her own good. She clung to him as though they were mates, though nothing like that had ever occurred between them. There had been others at other times in other packs. But the old wolf had shared too much battle with his two-toned partner to ever consider a tenderness between them. Not of that sort, anyway. Yes, their cubs would have been strong, but neither of them would have given up the heat of duty for the cool of family. The two of them wanted the same thing, and that was precisely what kept them apart. He wondered if maybe here at the end, beside this rock in the middle of the unending desert, if that would change. Maybe for a few thousand heartbeats they could forget what mattered to them most and just enjoy the moment for what it was. No more duty. No more honour. No more promises to dead kings or usurpers. Maybe if they lost themselves, then, when the end finally came, it wouldn't really be them fighting their own pack at all. It'd be some other wolves, some alien creatures with normal hopes and normal dreams, free from oath and duty. Do you think we'll ever see him again? Signed Shadowtop. It took a heartbeat or two for Blackstripe to catch her meaning. Nightford, he signed, thinking of the wolf cub who had refused to stay by the mountain. The sky behind them was getting lighter, silhouetting the rock against the glow of morning. The desert before them was already brighter than it had been 100 heartbeats ago. A little longer and they would be able to see for days across the low and level sands.
I was thinking he might still make it, she sighed. This rock is tall.
He'd be able to see it. If he were going to head for anywhere, it would be here. If we could just take the weight off our feet for a few days, give ourselves a chance to build up some strength, then he might have a chance. We can dig again in the mud pit. There was water here once. It can't be hiding much deeper. And when he gets here, he can rest, and then Bloodfur can take him back to Cold Mountain. We spare the cub and get rid of our other problem at the same time.
The cub's dead, interrupted Blackstripe. You know that.
The two-toned wolf stilled her sine words. The desert was sliding from the myriad greys of night to the pale orange of daytime. Stones lifted themselves from the textureless floor, reflecting the sunrise like a scattering of cerise stars growing harder as light returned to the world. Soon the world would be too bright for color.
If we told the others, they would wait, she sighed. At least a day, maybe more. We could send out Left Leg Broken again.
Why are you trying to buy us time? Sighed the old Alpha. You know what is coming. Today, tomorrow. Waiting for the wolf we left behind will not change that. If anything, telling them now, admitting that we had kept it from them, that would make it happen all the sooner. Although, maybe that is a good idea. I've had enough of waiting. Death is overdue.
You don't mean that.
I'm tired, Shadowtop, he sighed. My body, my legs, my heart, all of me. I've led this pack beyond the end of the world, and for what? Great Bear is dead. The Threehorn is glad to be rid of us. There's no honor in us carrying on. We are dying of dryness, searching for something we know does not exist. Better just to end it now and let some other wolf lead them home.
They will not follow Bloodfur as they follow you, she sighed.
They will learn.
They won't, she insisted. Bloodfur wants the leadership, but he does not know how to lead. Every decision he makes is based on instinct. There's no thought behind his actions, no planning, no understanding of what the pack needs.
I'm tired of decisions, sighed Blackstripe.
I do not care how tired you are, she sighed, snapping at him. Without you, they will die. Bloodfur will lead them back across the desert, and they'll die at some waterhole more barren than this one. If they make it back to Cold Mountain, they will either go mad on the slopes or be killed the moment they re-enter the kingdom. There's nothing for them that way.
There's nothing for them out here either, he snarled.
Shadowtop, you must realize that.
You cannot believe we can find this forest of the gods.
With you, we have a chance, she sighed. Who knows what is beyond the sunrise? A few days rest and your foot will heal. Then we can be moving again.
The old Alpha snorted. I thought I was hiding my injury rather well, he sighed.
I know you, sighed Shadowtop. And I know it is not in your nature to give up. This is not the end, my friend. You won't let it be the end.
The light spread across the desert like waves on water. The world was waking. Soon, it would be too hot to think, too hot to fight. Blackstripe looked out over the sunlit landscape. Somewhere out there was Nightfoot's body, gnawing away at the old wolf like a thorn in his heel. If the others made it back, they'd have to pass that body. They would smell him on the breeze. They'd find him. They would know what Blackstripe had done in leaving him behind. They would curse him for it. If only he had allowed the cub to come with them, things could have been different. If he'd looked after him as an alpha should look after any member of his pack, the thing might have lived.
Somewhere in the desert, Nightfoot's body burned like guilt in the morning sun.
The sound of running echoed curiously around the rock, still some distance from them. Blackstripe hummed to himself. He had expected Bloodfur to wait a little longer, to restore his own strength before the wolves attacked. But, he realized, this was the time to attack. Now, before the full strength of the sun, before the Alpha's wounded paw had a chance to heal. If Blackstripe was forced out during the heat of day, the Red Wolf wouldn't even have to worry about delivering the killing blow. The dehydration of the desert would do that for him. You still have time to join them, signed Blackstripe as Shadowtop rose to her feet. They will need you for the bird. The two-toned wolf seemed to pause. No, she sighed. They know where I stand. Blackstripe stayed watching the horizon as the troop of wolves rounded the corner of the rock. He did not turn to face them. He wouldn't have to. Soon, they would be upon him, and they would be there. He wouldn't resist. There'd be teeth and a tearing of skin, but only on him. There's no point in lowering their chances of making it home if they were going to make the journey anyway. Yes, it would hurt him, but only for 50 or 60 heartbeats, and then there would be no more heartbeats to measure it. Whatever came next would come next, be it the forest of the gods or mere oblivion. But whatever happened, he would not turn around to meet them. He would not let them see the fear in his eyes. He would keep his face turned towards home. Maybe, if the gods were kind, he would find his way there instead of their lost forest. Then, maybe, he could see the wide branches of the blood oak again. Maybe he could walk beneath the tall northwood pines of the bloodwood in which he was born and smell their scent against his fur once more. If only the gods would let him. He waited. But the killing blow never came. Shadowtop was pushing her face into his, forcing him to turn around, twisting his head back towards the rock and his attackers. She was excited, desperate, but it was not the scent of battle that he smelled on her now. This was not the scent of someone poised to pounce. This was shock. This was surprise. This was somehow, unfathomably, impossibly, one scent away from joy. Bloodfur and the other wolves were lined up before them. Their heads lowered, tails between their legs rears to the floor in submission. They were whimpering, but there was also something else among them, some frisson of energy bubbling up beneath their supplication. Bloodfur dared not meet his eye. Blackstripe stood, the pain in his paw forgotten. Something had happened. Something had changed their plans. Something. Could it have been Shadowtop? She stood next to him, as surprised as he was at their appearance. He took a step towards them, cautious in case this was part of their plan, but the wolves stayed where they were.
I am sorry,
signed Bloodfur, and the others mimicked him in a flurry of sign words.
We thought you were wrong. We thought you were leading us to our deaths.
Blackstripe turned to Shadowtop. The two-toned wolf stared back uncomprehendingly. Bloodfur continued.
You are the wolf who conquered the desert. You are the wolf who stands with the gods. The one who brings them walking.
Blackstripe's head was swimming. Shadowtop shot past him, around the rock to its sunrise side. The stone itself looked different in the day, its shape more angular, its walls eerily perpendicular. was a rock face built of many smaller stones, each one just as unnaturally flat as the next, red and eternally uniform, row upon row over their heads. Broken openings in the rock face above showed the structure was hollow, its walls only a few paws wide and empty like the shell oak of Ulrock. Blackstripe moved among his wolves, not caring what the structure was, not caring why, only caring that his brothers had come back to him. He touched his head against the top of theirs, showing them he accepted them as they were, that he loved each and every one of them with a love to rival that of the gods. They were his blood, and he was theirs. He lingered with Bloodfur, letting the red wolf press back against him far longer than the others. Mudface looked up for a heartbeat, envy burning in his eyes, but it didn't matter. There'd be time enough for all of them. They stood and pressed in around him, smells mixing, pictures of sunrise floating among them like leaves on water. The one who brings them walking. Shadowtop had not returned. She was on the other side of the strange rock of the Wardour. Blackstripe pulled himself from his circle of brothers, wrenching his thoughts from theirs until they became fully his own again. The one who conquers the desert. There was something on the sunlit side. Something for him to see. Blackstripe rounded the rock, closely followed by his pack. Shadowtop was already there, on the rim of the mud pit, slumped against the dry earth, her attention on sunrise. Blackstripe climbed the rim of the mud pit to meet her. Light burned on the horizon, unforgiving and hard. It took him a few heartbeats for his eyes to adjust. The one who stands with the gods. The bird was there, perched beside Shadowtop. Its wings were covered in fine crystals as though it had flown through a dust storm, and it glistened in the blinding light. Wherever it had come from, the journey had been hard. Its feathers were ruffled out of place, its body twitching and agitated. "It's true," signed Shadowtop. "It's all true." "What is?" signed Blackstripe, still squinting against the sunlight. His pack was there beside him. Thoughts flowed between them freely again. Joy, excitement, relief, honor, trust. The bird was flapping something, squawking as it danced in strange circles, signing the nonsense of a treeless forest. "What's it saying?" Then he saw it. Something on the horizon. Something reaching up from the desert. Still far, but impossibly large, like a mountain sliced into many parts, a forest of stone pillars, each colossal structure stretching higher than the pines of Northwood, higher than the blood oak, each one narrow and impossibly straight, branchless, and as blinding as the sun shining between the many towers. "Where is it?" he asked again, as the bird finished its dance. Shadowtop turned to translate, moving slower than she had for days. "We made it," she sighed, her paws heavy with the sign words of God's song and kitten tales. "This is it," she told him. "This is the forest of the gods." You've been listening to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. To learn more, visit olliefrancis.co.uk, where you can discover how to support the project and influence where the story's going. Until then, may the gods always hear your song.